Bryce. Bryce, are you there? You don't be listening. Anyway, it's Julia from season 38, Edge of Extinction, and I just had to stop by and say I love me some of the Purple Pants podcast. But can I mention real quick, your new single, Setback? Woo! Child, in the long haul, it's called Endurance, sis. I'm a survivor. I don't give up quick. Baby boy, you did that. Can I get on a single? Sheesh. Anyway, I am so proud of you. I cannot wait until this quarantine is finally over so we can link up, wet our whistles, and have one of our wild nights like we always do. You know what it is. But are y'all ready? It's a purple pants.
It's the purple pants. It's the purple pants. It's the purple pants podcast. You better get your headphones and listen up quick. Ooh. It's the purple pants podcast. You better listen in public, might make your stomach hurt. Ooh. It's the purple pants podcast. You're trying to unwind. You better get that box wine. It's the purple pants podcast. You're trying to get your snack. You better hurry right back though. It's the purple pants. It's the purple pants.
What it do, everybody? It's your favorite baby boy, Bryce Isaiah, and welcome to this week's episode of the Purple Pants Podcast. I hope everyone is well. Well, what's popping with everybody? What y'all been up to? What you been doing? How was your weekend? Me, you know, busy as a what? A quarantine bee. Ooh, busy as a quarantine bee. Ooh, busy as a quarantine bee. Okay, all right. But yes, you know, busy as a bee. This weekend, I did a little housework. So I told you before, baby boy's been getting his green thumb on, and I've been planting and propagating a lot, and I have like a lot of plants now. Leave it to Wendell, he gonna say he didn't inspire me to be a planter. No, my mom is a planter. She's got plants all over her house, and so do I. So I reorganized my dining room. Since I work from home, I generally use my dining room as like my office, and I've got like this big dining room table, and I've got plants by my window, but they're literally covering my whole window. And I'm like, you know what, I don't really have house parties, or you know, I have gatherings, but I don't have sit down dinners. Why do I need this big table? So my table has like a leaf in it, so I removed the leaf, made the table a little smaller. Instead of having it like the long way when you walk in, I turned it so it's more wider, and I made it into an actual desk and not a table. When Wendell built me my plant table a couple of weeks ago, he gave me like these boxes to give it height, so I took those boxes and put it on my table to kind of sort of make it desk like and so I created this nice little desk, and I had all of these plants, and so I have moved the plants around, so it's, you know, like my dining room is more like a jungle now, and I love it. And it just kind of like, you know, inspires me when I'm working throughout the day. I can see my plants, the sun comes in the window, so yes, I'm here for it. I love it. So that's really what I've been doing this weekend. You know, it was Mother's Day, so I had to go drive down and see Barb. It was a little bittersweet because, you know, generally for Mother's Day, I always spend the weekend with my mom and we hang out. But due to this COVID-19, we had to do the social distance, you know, version. So I drove down and, you know, gave my mom her gift and played with Sunshine, talked to John. But, you know, my mom is all like, come in. I'm like, no, mom, I can't come in. You know, I've been around people and, you know, you up there age, you know, Barbara, old girl. So we can't risk my mom or John getting sick. So although, you know, the selfish me wanted to come in and hang out, I really kind of wanted to keep my distance and, you know, stay safe. So although we may not get this time together, I'd rather my mom be here for the long run and we'll have plenty of more time together. So that was really what I did this weekend, just chilling, hanging out. But I'm excited about this week's episode. So, you know, we got the church announcements on the menu this week. We've got our Survivor News with Jack Atkins, and we welcome Missy Bird from season 39. I also have Ahmad Abari on this menu that I think is a very important topic, and I think that it needs to be talked about. I've got this week's Insecure, and we welcome E. Berrios to the podcast for the first time. So we get a little in-depth with E. Berrios to figure out what he's up to and actually really who E. Berrios is. We've got our Purple Pants picks. I got advice with Bryce, and you know we got the Freak of the Week. So I'm excited. So without further ado, let's get into this podcast.
Welcome to church. Welcome to church. It's a church announcement, so now. Welcome to church.
All right, So for this week's church announcements, I've got three things. One, I just wanted to touch base and just make sure I said Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. You are greatly appreciated. You know, during this quarantine time, I know your patience has been tested, but stay strong. We in this together. And I wanted to just share a quick story. So there's a close friend to our family who, you know, she's recently married and they are trying to, you know, get pregnant. And they're having some struggles with that. And they recently lost the child. They kind of been like keeping it on the hush. They shared it with a few close friends and family. And so on Mother's Day, I was like, you know what, let me just reach out. And I just sent a little message, was just saying that, you know, I know that, you know, today must be a hard day for you, but I just wanted to acknowledge the fact that you did have life in your body, and that, you know, Happy Mother's Day to you. And I just was reiterating the fact that I know it's a hard time and that I know you kind of want to get past it, but I think that it's an important part of grieving to acknowledge it, and like, you know, that you had a child in you and that you lost it, and it's okay to be sad, and it's okay to celebrate the life that you had. So I just sent a quick little note, and the family member was so receptive of it. They like thanked me. They were like, you know what, I really, you know, need to take time to process this, and just appreciating that. And so I just wanted to say that anyone that's lost a parent, lost a grandparent, lost a child, that I know these holidays can sometimes be difficult, but I just want to let you know that you are in my thoughts and in my prayers. And I also wanted to say that people that don't have kids and they have dogs, yes, dog moms count too. I did send a couple of text messages to my friends that have dogs and don't have children, and they was like, thank you. Next on the church announcements, I just want to say, yes, thank you to everyone that has been supporting the new single, E-Burials, featuring Bryce Isaiah, Set Back. Yes, over the weekend, everybody was bombarding me, texting, calling, showing love on the Twitter, showing love on the Instagram, and I just love it. And if you have not heard it yet, E-Burials featuring Bryce Isaiah, Set Back is available. Yes, keep the support and the love going. I love it. So, last on the church announcements, just want to put it out there that, you know, the Purple Pants podcast is doing really well. Thanks to all of you. Shout out to the Purple Pants posse and to all my new listeners. And, you know, I like to give you the content that you want and deserve. And, you know, baby boy tries his best. But, you know, we always could use a little help. So if anyone would be interested in coming aboard the motherboard, the Purple Pants podcast, and helping out as an intern, I've got a couple of little projects that I could use help with and some logistical things that would be great. If you'd be interested in being a Purple Pants podcast intern, just email me at purplepantspodcast@gmail.com and make sure you put intern in the subject. And yes, baby boy will get right back to you. I appreciate that, because yes, we go together. So let's work together to give you guys the best podcast that you deserve. Now let's get into this menu.
It's a man who, it's a menu. Meat and potatoes like we're cooking up a great stew. It's a man who, it's a menu. Meat and potatoes like we're cooking up a great stew.
And we are back this week with our Survivor news. I'm so excited. You know, we back with our baby boy, Jack Atkins. Are you with me?
Yeah, what's up? You know me, I'm here. I'm ready to go. Been a bit of a tougher week, but we're chilling now. So I'm excited to recap this penultimate episode and welcome this guest that you're about to bring in.
Oh, I like the intro. Time out. Go ahead. Intro me, Bryce. You better let the people know who I am. Spell it right.
Yes. Let's welcome my friend to the Shizzo, season 39, Missy Bird. What's poppin', Missy?
Oh, what's up, y'all? I'm so happy to be back. I love the PPP. What's up?
Yes. Well, listen, we got a 2-hour episode to kick it off. So what's popping, Jack Atkins? What you got for us?
Oh my gosh. Yeah, we had a nice 2-hour episode. It was a little weird in the structure, honestly, but we'll obviously get into that. But just kicking off, there was a interesting moment at the beginning of the episode, right at the start with the where the fire was crackling. It was kind of reminiscent of Heroes, Healers, Hustlers. I don't know if you remember this scene, but Ben had a moment of PTSD during his season of Heroes vs. Healers vs. Hustlers when the fire was popping that he left. Now we see him. It's a little bit, it kind of shows his transformation. He's a little bit calmer and is able to just walk away. But actually, it kind of gave me this idea that, you know how we've discussed a lot about Ben kind of not playing the best social game and not really getting along with people that he's not working with. Mm-hmm. I kind of thought about it, and I know Missy, this is actually perfect. I know Missy, you're a veteran. You might be able to touch on this, but it seems almost like Ben to me is maybe, I know a lot of times in war, people are not taught, but oftentimes villainize the opposition. And I feel like Ben is almost doing that. that, because maybe Missy can definitely elaborate on this, but there's kind of sometimes you try to lack empathy with the opposition. And I feel like Ben is almost kind of relating to this, where if he's against someone, he's not trying to consider them as, you know, as close personally as he is to his allies. I don't know if that makes any sense, but it kind of seems like, especially with the theme Winners at War, Ben is almost treating this like another combat situation, where he's going in with a lot of the tricks he's learned in the past.
Yeah, well, I feel that.
Definitely. I mean, well, first of all, it's $2 million. So everybody's the opposition. Everybody could get it. Bye. Because I'm trying to get this money. Okay. So I don't know whether or not it definitely has to do with his past and being in the service, or whether or not he's just like, if I don't, because listen, Missy, no, if I don't like you, I don't like you.
Right.
It ain't. Okay. We see each other. So I don't got time for you. So I'm not sure. But what are your thoughts, Missy?
I mean, yeah, I definitely feel the military mindset. Like when you out there, like to, you think that you have your alliance, you don't care about the other team. Like they can die out. Y'all can get voted out today. But I agree with Bryce too. Yeah, I was in the military, but also same thing. If I don't like you, if I don't like you, I don't like you. I'm not here to mess with you. Even for $2 million, it's hard for me to be fake. Like I have to this day, my alliance is still my alliance outside the game. Like those are my people. I just hung up with Aaron's son, you know, talking to him about Mother's Day. So definitely, aww, I think it's who you like and that's who you go with. It's hard when you're hungry, you're starved, you go back to your true colors. And I can't be fake. I'm pretty genuine on the island. I just come off cutthroat.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, I totally agree with that. I just think, especially where we've seen a lot of Ben conflicting with Jeremy, we know that they started off friendly. So it seems like initially there was some love between them. So that kind of just made me think farther that maybe this is kind of Ben's mindset, where if I'm not with you, I'm completely against you. I just thought it was an interesting scene and an idea overall that maybe explains some of why Ben's social game is going the way it is, that I just kind of wanted to present to you guys.
Well, it's always love and war. So, I mean, you know.
Of course. Yep. Missy, did you have another idea on that, or should we move along?
I was going to ask, are you a fan of Ben? Are you team Ben? Is that what I'm hearing?
Me personally, I'm not team Ben. I like him as a person. If I met him in person, I think it would be all love. I think he would be a great guy to talk to. But as a fan of the show, watching him, I honestly just think he's a really, really bad player.
And I
wasn't a fan of his first win, honestly, because I was a fan of him the first time around, but I just wasn't a fan of his win because of the way it came about. It felt a little bit.
Well, let me just ask you this, Jack, real quick. How many seasons of Survivor you won?
Wow. No. Ring the bell.
Saying, as a fan, I'm just saying, because I was team Devin all the way that season, and I thought he got a little bit screwed. I'm just saying. I'm just throwing that out
there. I can agree with Jack. You know, I'm team Jack here. I'm not going to lie.
So, but I will say this, and this is like, sometimes I teeter the line sometimes, but you know, Trey Monate, okay? I feel like, and I've come to this conclusion, and I just feel like no matter if the win is contested or not, if those votes at the end of the day say your name, then you won. Period.
Facts.
So,
no doubt.
And well, I mean, Jack, what side is you on? You can't say
That doesn't mean certain winners aren't higher quality winners than others. So, Ben is a guy, if I met him, I would give him a firm handshake and be like, I respect the shit out of you. But I'd also say to his face, like, if he asked, I don't think you're as good of a winner as some other winners.
Oh,
and I know he's deserving he's undeserving of a lot of the undue hate he's been receiving. But if we're talking Survivor and we're talking strategy on this podcast, I want to be blunt and just say it.
Oh.
I think he might be the worst player on this season.
I don't know if I can agree with that statement at all. I definitely do not think that he is the worst player on this this season. For sure. Because look how far he is. Okay.
Yeah, no, that's maybe not the worst, but
okay, time out. Karishma went just as far.
And I'm going to even hotter take, Karishma is a better player than Ben.
Put
that out there.
You know what? All right, guys. And this is a wrap for Survivor.
See you guys next week.
All right. Oh, Jack, I love you, bro.
Thank you. I guess let's move on. I mean, Grace, I'm glad
we're going to move the train along.
All right. All right. So I'm just going to touch on this briefly because it's going to be reoccurring throughout this. Tony and Sarah, your Cagayan peeps, somehow still just dominating. No one's throwing their name out ever. I just think that's crazy impressive. But let's get into that first challenge. Just personally, I love that challenge. Bryce, you texted me right before I was about to text you that that's a challenge I think I would have killed of any challenge I've ever seen. And just on that note, challenge-wise, just more generally, is there any specific challenge you guys have seen or would like to see that you guys personally think you would crush?
Wow.
I want to see the challenge when they're in the water, they're on the circle, and it's like the sumo wrestling.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Listen, I'm ready to kill that challenge. First of all, I'm ready to do that challenge with Jack right now because Jack done pissed me off this episode. And another one of the challenges I want to do is like when you have like that castle in your hand and you got to try to knock the other person's castle off.
Oh, yeah. Ooh. Yeah.
First of all you know what? I don't even want to say that because you never know, I might get a second chance. But listen, all I'm doing is I'm throwing my castle up in the air and I'm just tackling the person. But okay. Ooh.
Straight up.
And I know Missy wants a physical challenge. So what you want, Missy?
I'm going to have to say it's the sumo wrestling one where like James got the old dude in there and James just stood there and like threw the dude into the mud. So sure. I definitely want that one. Give me some peanut butter for that win. Like it's going down.
Yep.
And then I want that surfing challenge that Woo won on your season, guys. That's the goal. And then I got the one that I wanted on my season, Kim's challenge, hanging over the water. That's the one that I won. And I was like, Kim, let me shoot my shot. Y'all already know. Let me shoot my shot.
Oh my God.
Let me shoot my shot 2020. I was just like, if I do this challenge, Kim won this challenge, Kim will call me. Like, she will contact me. So, you know. Yeah.
Well, we can make that happen. We can make that Kim! We can make that happen.
Yeah, I just saw with this challenge that little basketball element and then the slide puzzle, I knew it would be a wrap, so I was pretty fired up. And I felt like Nick had a great shot of winning, which he ultimately did.
But wait, real quick, Jack, while we at it, Ben had wanted me to ask you, how many challenges have you won?
Ooh.
Okay. Never mind. Keep it going.
I feel like, I don't know. I feel like if I had Ben, we'd be cool, Bryce. It's not like that. There's no beef. No beef.
I don't know, Jack. You came for Ben neck pretty hard.
I don't hear it. Yeah.
Well, we got to give some hot takes out here, Bryce.
I guess you really hot. Your butt must be on the stove, Jack. All right, go ahead.
Ben just called. Guys, hold on. Ben just called. Jack, how many idols have you found?
Oh my gosh. Ben's flaming me out here.
Right.
Damn. All right, Ben. Ben, is this, we're getting personal right now. Am I the new Jeremy right now?
I'm not talking to you then.
Yeah, Ben, you guys, Ben's just telling you guys to shit talk me. He doesn't want to talk to me. But it's all good. I love you, Ben, as a character. But let's move on. Nick wins the challenge. We got the final seven. And there was plans to take out Nick. A lot of times this season, they've been throwing out names early in the episode, and then that person kind of always goes on to win immunity. I don't know if that's a coincidence or that's just their editing tactic, but obviously they need to find a new plan here. And initially the plan is to split votes between Jeremy and Michelle, and those two come to Nick with an opportunity to like mess up the split vote by voting out Ben. It would be 3-2-2. And honestly, I think this is where maybe Nick's biggest mistake of the season. I really thought he should have stuck with Jeremy there and voted out Ben, because even as that tribal was going on, I was thinking to myself what Michelle voiced to him after the tribal. Like, what's your path to the end if Jeremy goes home? I know Jeremy's a great player, but if he goes home, you're kind of screwed. If you take out Ben, that opens up Denise's allegiance, because now I don't think she's going to be completely loyal to a final three with Tony and Sarah. And also, just like taking out Ben completely frees you up. It keeps Jeremy as a number, because now it's him and Michelle against a loyal alliance of four that isn't going to break up. Maybe he thinks he could split Denise off of that, but clearly Denise's head doesn't seem to be 100% in the game. I think she's playing well, but I don't think she's aware of the fact that she probably isn't going to beat Tony or Sarah. So I just thought Nick made a mistake there. What did you guys think of that, though?
I definitely thought, first of all, you know me, I am Team Nicklicious, but Nicklicious was pissing me off this episode because I'm like, first of all, every I mean, this is Survivor. Every person that Nick has talked to, it seems like he is switching up with them. Like, oh, I'll go with you. I'll go with you. But yeah, I don't understand why Nick teamed up with Ben and Tony and Sarah, because it's like, what's your end game, baby boy? I didn't get it. And that's another thing. I do love Ben, and I think that Ben is great to be with Nick, with Sarah and Tony. But my thing with Ben is, if, like, you know, you are actively playing the Survivor game, what, like, do you think your chances of beating Tony or Sarah are better than your chances of beating Nick and Michelle? Like, like that confused me a lot. So I don't know. But again, I have, you know, I haven't made it past episode 4. So listen, maybe that strategy works. I don't know. What you think, Missy?
Okay. Wow. Yeah. So I'm thinking that Jeremy is, like, we can all agree at some point in time, Jeremy is that guy that has to go, right?
Right.
We can all agree on that. Jeremy is the winner that people want to emulate. So I think it was wrong to send Jeremy home, because at 4, 5, 6, mm-hmm. we can all still agree, no matter who we are, no matter who we hate, Jeremy needs to go, because Jeremy's going to win this game. Jeremy deserves to win. So why not go ahead and get rid of Ben, a big physical threat that still almost won that, that 30% disadvantage. He still almost won it. So why not just go ahead and get rid of a player like that? And then everybody can have this unanimous, like, this unifying vote of, let's get rid of Jeremy. Because, like, you have to really assess where you stand with the tribe. And I think that that's where people get it wrong. Sometimes you're not as good as you think you are. And I think it blinds you.
Yeah. So, yeah. To me, I mean, I think if you take out Ben and then Jeremy, that sets Nick, Michelle, and Denise up with a great final five where they can go to the final three altogether.
Yes, it gave Nick more moves.
While it's been so fun to watch Tony and Sarah dominate, it's almost a little bit simultaneously boring, because it seems like Denise and Ben aren't aware of their position in the game.
Right.
And that's, like, what my point about Ben, though. He explained it very well at One Tribal, that his first season around gave him a lack of trust. And we know his first season, he was constantly fighting from the bottom. So to me, I could kind of see, like, his mental stability and just finding trust with people he gets along and likes might be worth more than $2 million to him this season. Doesn't mean it's great strategy, but everyone has their own personal reasons for playing. I'm not going to, like, personally dislike you if you're not playing, like, the ideal strategic game. Denise has shown a little bit more cognizance of her position, but still seems to think she could be, like, Sarah and Ben, which I just don't see. But to me, ultimately, it was kind of Nick's screw up there, because I do think if taking out Ben opens up a world of opportunities, and I think then you could turn Denise on Tony and Sarah. Obviously, definitely, you're going to have someone coming back from the edge. Jeremy's an easy boot. I legitimately think if I guess we still don't know what's to happen. Obviously, Nick ends up getting voted out at the final six, but I legitimately think taking out Ben there pretty much guarantees a win for Nick or Michelle.
Definitely. I just want to say real quick, I loved Michelle in this episode, right? Mm-hmm. Because she came at everybody just with, you know what? The worst thing you could say to somebody is the truth. All right. I'm going to say it one more time. The worst thing you could tell somebody who don't want to hear it is the truth. She walked up to Sarah. Why do you think you can beat Tony? Sarah, like, why? Right? Nick, why did you make that move? Like, now we are both messed up. Not just you. You sunk my game, too. And it's the truth. Like, I love just, like, the blanket open honesty. I'm going to be real with you. You messed up. 2020, you messed up. Try again. 2021.
Right. And I agree. I have to say, Michelle, I have a lot of respect for Michelle. You know, Michelle has been open about her coming back for Winners at War, the anxiety that she shared about people not respecting her win. And I definitely think all season, Michelle's back has been against the corner, and she's been really just trying to survive. And I think that, you know, her kind of speaking the truth and her winning that challenge this episode really kind of showed the queen that, you know, the queen that she really is. The one thing that really irks me is that, like, you know, Denise, while Nick and Ben are all there, like, y'all have the numbers, and it's just like, y'all know what day it is. Like, and either way, even if you are with your alliance, okay, like, we are getting down to the end. You gotta make a move. You gotta make a big move. And it's like, any one of those people, if they would have orchestrated getting Tony or Sarah out, that could have been a $2 million move for them. Exactly. The jury would have respected it so much. But I don't understand the loyalty that they have right now. And again, that's just fan me talking, because, you know, I'm Team Kagiyan. So I'm really happy to see Sarah and Tony dominating the game. But also as a player, exactly, like, you know, I'm just like, come on, make some moves, shift it up.
Yeah, Michelle has been on the bottom the whole time, but I think her scrappiness or her like lack of fear to speak her truth and speak her mind and say what's up to people, even though she's been on the outside of pretty basically every vote since the merge, that's still kind of more respectable than Nick, Ben, and Denise kind of just, you know, they're in the numbers, but they're not doing anything. They're not mixing it up. So right. Michelle's been on the bottom, but at least she's fighting and she's surviving through that. Like, it's clear, definitely difficult for her to be on the bottom the whole time.
No.
She keeps going. So
I completely agree. And that's a great statement because Ben wanted me to ask you, how many times have you been on the bottom of the vote?
I've never been on the bottom of a survivor.
I'm dead. How many times Ben gonna call?
I feel like Ben's about to kick down my door and come beat the shit out of me.
All right, what did you say?
And then he's gonna find an idol and try to play it off. Like, but we're cool. Ben just
threw you off.
Damn, Ben just texted me. It's too explicit to say.
Oh my god!
You have to beep it out. But moving on, like you said, Michelle. Let's move on to that. Michelle crushed that challenge, and in that challenge, let's talk about the disadvantage that Ben received from Nick. I want to talk to a little bit more. We already talked about this early in the season. The dynamic of the fire tokens. And I know kind of what I said was that the fire tokens really put you in a tough position because even if you're getting way overcharged, you kind of have to pay up if you can afford to, because if you don't buy it, I feel like people on the edge aren't going to send advantages your way because they know you're a fickle buyer.
Good point.
So it's kind of like you have to buy it or else you might not even have another opportunity. Mm-hmm. And Nick does. And I kind of just want to discuss with you guys and hear your thoughts on whether or not you think Nick played this advantage right. Because ultimately, had he not played it on Ben probably would have won and Michelle would have gone home. But I do personally think that playing it on Ben was the right move. I just don't think he and Michelle actually tried to stir enough chaos up by doing that, because you probably could have tried to make Ben get paranoid, and it doesn't really seem like they do that. But what are your guys' thoughts on this advantage, Nick using it, Nick buying it, everything that comes with it?
I just personally have to say I love the aspect of the fire tokens. I think they're great, but I don't know. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that I wish that the aspect of the fire tokens were in-game only and that Edge of Extinction can't have. Like, I don't know. I guess they just try to include Edge of Extinction as much as they can, but to me, I feel like it just gets a little too messy and it gets a little too convoluted. Like, keep the edge at the edge and keep the fire tokens like in the game. I think Nick was right by playing it. However, if I were Nick and in that position, I would have played it against Sarah or Tony and, you know, tried to like put more smoke on them to get them out. And then I would have, like, you know, if say Sarah didn't win, I would have tried to rally the troops to get Sarah out. And then if I make it towards the end, I could say I got that advantage. I played it against Sarah strategically to get Sarah. Like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. I just felt like there was a lot more that they could do against the two biggest threats out there.
Yeah, I think what you could do, and I'll let Missy go after this, sorry to cut in, but I think a good move there is, like, say you want to play it on Ben or Sarah, go to one of them way before the challenge when you know you're going to play and say, like, start planting seeds. Say, hey, these people said they might come for you if you lose this challenge. Then bada bing, bada boom, the disadvantage is played on you. It's like a little abracadabra, you know what I'm saying? And then
wait, Jack, my mic broke up. You said bada who, bada
I said
who?
Bada bing, bada boom. Bada bing, bada boom. Like, the disadvantage gets played. Now that's going to increase the paranoia. They're going to be like, oh, maybe they play this on me because they do want to get me out. It just doesn't seem like they really amplify the paranoia, the opportunity of paranoia that they could have created. But Missy, what are you thinking about this?
Wow. Okay. So I'm trying to sit here, close my eyes, and go back into like slit and throats, Missy.
Oh.
And I bada feel,
bing, bada boom.
Yeah,
bada
right?
Bing,
bada yeah. Boom, that really triggered me. I feel like for me, I mean, Cops R Us. Okay. So fan and alumni answer.
Yes.
Cops R Us is one of the longest lasting alliances that a fan has ever seen. So as a fan, I'm thinking, why not just go ahead, play it on Sarah? She already must be feeling some kind of way with Michelle telling her that, hey, I'm voting for Tony anyway. Tony's the better winner. It's all going to him. Have it played on Sarah. And now Sarah's like, who played it? Could it potentially be Tony? Because when you're starving like that, you turn on your closest ally. I thought Aaron was against me one day and I was ready to take him out. He wasn't doing nothing but napping. Right. And I was ready to take him out. Yeah. So I'm thinking cause a little chaos with Cops R Us. But then as an alumni, now that I've played, I see the edit. I think that a lot can be said about the relationships that we as fans don't see. So Sarah and Tony have been best friends for like, what, a decade now? Like, very long time. So I don't think as an alumni, it would make sense to me that anybody would try that relationship, just because, like, it wouldn't matter. But I.
But Tony voted out Sophie.
Yeah, and yeah, I see that. But I think that even though Tony did that, Sarah's more willing to forgive him than to jump ship and go to a brand new person. Like me and Tony, we've been sitting and having drinks. We play poker together. Our kids know each other. Like they have this whole life history. So maybe Tony made a mistake because he's Tony, but I see Sarah taking him back in. Like they're still together. I think it's going to be really hard pressed to break up that alliance. And maybe Nick, as somebody who's been an alumni longer than me, he saw that. And why not put it on a physical beast? Cause Nick can't beat Ben, at least physically. So, like, I like where he put it, but then as a fan, I'm just like, go ahead and make Sarah paranoid. Like, make her paranoid. Shake it up.
Yeah, I mean, I think whoever you play it on, whether it's Sarah or Ben or Tony, obviously Sarah and Tony are a super tight duo, but however you play it, I just think you have to go try to turn that duo against Ben or turn Ben against that duo or
right.
maybe do something with Denise, even though she's kind of just been chilling. Yeah, I agree with I think we're all kind of all on the same page. They just didn't take the opportunity to stir shit up enough, or at least we didn't see that.
Right, because they're so comfortable. And the only person that's really fighting is Michelle because she's not comfortable. And those are the people that are more likely to, like, be catapulted to the end. And so, like, I am, as a fan, definitely rooting for Shelly. But as a alum and as a, you know, I definitely need my cops R Us in there.
Yeah. I just don't get how everyone is so blinded by the fact that Tony is probably going to crush them in the end. Like, Michelle tells Sarah and she's spitting facts. And then Sarah just goes and is like, what a joke. Michelle thinks Tony's going to win. That's hilarious. Like, Michelle so stupid? Like,
it's and not ridiculous. Nothing for Sarah. I feel like, who knows? I feel like Sarah, this last episode, I'm really hoping that Sarah maybe gets her revenge and maybe finally turns on Tony. Like, I don't know. Yeah. I really feel like the destruction of Cops Are Us is probably coming. And maybe this is what Sarah's plan was. Get as far as I can with Tony and then backstab him.
Yeah, so, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I think Sarah's actually in a good spot, way, way better than Ben or Denise, because she could go to Final Four or Final Five and then cut Tony and she probably gets the win.
Yeah. But yeah, and my last thing that I would say is that, like, I get nervous. Say Sarah does take Tony out and Sarah is against somebody like Michelle. Like, I wonder how much of a, like, that would be a really tough duo. And people might be, like, scorned by Sarah. Or people might think, like, well, what has Sarah really been doing this whole time? Like, you know what I mean? Like, so, I don't know. Chad, I'm just ready for the episode.
Right? Bring it on.
Yeah, let's dive into that. This is kind of the last thing I had on my notes. We get a big teaser for the finale, a big summary of what's happened so far this season, just in case we forgot with how busy we've been during quarantine. but I just kind of want to touch on, you know, what are the expectations for the finale? Obviously, we're kicking it off with the Edge of Extinction returnee. What are your guys' thoughts on Edge of Extinction this season been so far? What are you hoping and expecting in this finale? Just kind of just your thoughts in every capacity going into this epic finale.
I'm excited. I like the little montage that they did at the end. And I almost hate that my season 28 was the first season that they stopped doing before the last episode when they would go around and collect all the people's things and you would get little last clip.
Cause I was like,
yes. Yes. I was like, yes. At least I'll be on the TV again. But of course they stopped it at my season. So I'm excited for this challenge. I am a little I don't know. It makes me kind of mad because I am like the last person out has like the least advantage, that kind of sucks, but I am excited. Who knows, we all are talking about this Cops Are Us. Who knows, the person might come back and Chris Underwood the whole thing. So I'm really excited, but it's 2-hour episode, so I mean, yes, let's get in. I think the season's been amazing so far. What you think, Miss?
Wow, I'm team Wendell, team Natalie, team Tyson. Mostly team Natalie. I hope she gets back in. I hope she messes the game up for everybody. I think she's proved it with her edit. You get more time of Natalie on the edge than you get most players in the game. All right? Come on.
Yeah.
Just to touch on that,
that's kind of what I wanted to throw out about EOE and Bryce. Just touched on it as well. I just kind of think, and I've loved what we've gotten from Natalie, and there's no doubt that she's been grinding to get these fire tokens to stay in the game. But I just think Edge of Extinction is like extremely inherently flawed because the people that get there the earliest, aka the earliest boots, have the biggest advantage in these challenges. And don't forget like that Natalie has done an excellent job of finding fire tokens. Like Amber and Danny came just days after she did and have basically zero fire tokens. But it's like now Nick is there and he just made it to the end of the game and he probably has like 1% chance of winning this challenge because Natalie's coming in this challenge with three advantages, an idol, She had so many fire tokens, she bought an idol for her boy Tyson. Like, Natalie is probably going to win this, and I don't mind it that much because I don't think she's going to win. I would be really unhappy if she did, but I do think she'll come in and stir shit up, which is exciting. But it's just like, I loved Chris. He was my winner pick for his season. He was my favorite to watch, and that's why I didn't mind him win that much.
Keep it cute. Whatever you about to say, Jack, keep it cute.
I will keep it the cutest. I'm just saying I love him, but I don't want a Chris Underwood 2.0 with this. Okay, well,
bada bing, bada boom. So listen, you hear what Jack got to say? So I'm so excited for this 2-hour finale. Yes, I'm cutting Jack off because he done tried it with Ben. Okay, he ain't going to try it with my Underwood.
Underwood. What are you talking about?
Okay, no, you just said I want another Underwood. But anyway, guys, thank you so much, Missy, for coming on this episode. I appreciate you.
Yes, what's up?
Okay.
Thank you so much.
I'm just laughing. I'm dying right now.
Yes, because and baby boy, listen, y'all might not see baby boy next week. Okay, yeah, I might.
Missy, you might need to check in on me. I think I got people coming for me.
Yeah,
I got your back, bro. Team Jack.
Me and Ben might pull up to Jack's house.
There's a knock on my door. I gotta go.
But thanks again, Jack. Can we count on you next week?
Of course, you can count on me, Bryce. I'm so excited, but also it's bittersweet. It's the last episode we're gonna get for a long time. So
I know. Well. Yes. Well, next week we will bring it. And this is going to conclude this week's Survivor News.
Yes.
Keeping the menu rolling. There has been a lot of media coverage and news over the weekend about Ahmad Arbery. And I just felt like it was important for me to talk about this young man and the case that's going on in Georgia over there in Glynn County. It's a case that really kind of frustrates me because it seems that, you know, we've seen it time and time and time and time and time and time again. And baby boy is frustrated and upset. And so I just wanted to have an open conversation with the Purple Pants posse. So Ahmad Arbery was a young African-American male in, you know, Georgia over there in Glynn County. And back in February, okay? So just know that, you know, we are in May. So back in February, he was chased and gunned down by Greg McMichael and his son, Travis McMichael. Okay. So he was gunned down. He was out jogging like I do, you know, a couple of times a week. And he was chased by a pickup van with these two men, Greg and Travis McMichael. And there was a third man. Okay. His name was William Bryan, but we'll get to William Bryan a little later. And so, you know, Greg and Travis said that they were making a citizen's arrest. Oh, okay. Really? Were you? Okay. Well, it looked like a citizen's killing to me, not an arrest. So let's just give a little background on George McMichael, because he was a former Glynn County police officer and an investigator. Okay. Interesting. No longer with the force. He's retired, you know, doing whatever he's doing. So Greg tells police that there have been a string of burglaries in the area, and that when he saw Ahmad in the area running, he fit the description. And so Greg and his son told the police that they grabbed their guns and chased Arbery in his truck, believing he was responsible for the burglaries in the neighborhood. Okay, so you see a young African-American male jogging in your area and you feel as though he fits the description, so you decide to grab guns. Okay. And to me, it just seemed a little more premeditated than that, because you grab guns, you get in your truck, and you've got William Bryan there to record everything. Yes, guys, there is a video of Arbery's killing, and I wouldn't recommend you guys watch it, but I think that it's also important for you to watch it, because I watched it and my whole night was ruined. When you see Arbery running, literally running for his life, and these men chasing him, jump out of a car and shoot him. All the meanwhile, while we have Mr. William Bryan recording the whole thing on his cell phone. So you're recording the whole thing on your cell phone, but you're not calling the police because y'all making a citizen's arrest. 1098-765-4321, Bryce. It's important for you to remain not upset and give the people the information. But it's hard, Bryce. I know it is, but just get through it. Okay. Sorry, guys. I just had to talk to myself because just a lot of the things in this case just don't make sense. Okay, so, you know, they saw him. They said, oh, he looks like the guy. And I'm just curious, what's the description of the guy? A black male? Oh, okay, so any black male in your neighborhood could have been him. Okay, I digress. So, and what happened to the part of making a citizen's arrest where you hold the person, call the police, you get your shotguns, okay, and you kill them? That's a citizen's arrest? Oh, okay. I don't know anything about that. Because if I see somebody that I think is responsible for burglaries, hello, 911, I believe there's a suspect in my area. I'm not jumping in my car. I'm not grabbing my son. I'm not asking anybody to film anything. I don't understand that. The Brunswick Judicial Court Circuit District's Attorney's Office have had all this information since February. And, you know, no charges were filed. In fact, okay, some of the DAs have even been quoted saying that they felt like everything was legal, perfectly legal. Another Brunswick Judicial Court attorney, Jackie Johnson's office, actually instructed the authorities not to make an arrest in this case, okay? And it wasn't until last week when a Brunswick radio station released the video of the killing of Ahmad. And I think it's important that we continue to say his name, Ahmad, because I think it's important for us to know what's going on here. So after the radio station released the footage, of course, the footage went viral and everyone saw the footage. Everyone was outraged at the fact that this is, you know, May when this video is being released and that the district attorney's office has filed no charges. Okay. So after that, protests started happening, you know, and people are outraged as they rightfully should be outraged. Somebody was gunned down, unarmed, on videotape, which to me, that's premeditated. You're having someone videotape you, okay? And no charges have been found. Well, go figure, posse, okay? Go figure, Purple Pants posse. After the video hit the internet, the world went crazy. And on Thursday, Greg McMichael and his son, Travis McMichael, were charged, okay? Yes, charged with the killing of Ahmad Arbery. And I just think that it's also important that two of the DAs, since, you know, it's been making the headline news, guess what they did? They had to recuse themselves from the case due to their connections to Greg McMichael. Now, I told y'all before, Greg McMichael was a former police officer and an investigator. So does this not scream cover up? We've got people from Jackie Johnson's office instructing the authorities not to make an arrest. And we've got another DA saying that this is perfectly legal. Come on. And then they had to recuse themselves because of their connections with Greg McMichael. Ugh. And it seems like each day more information continues to come out regarding this case of Ahmad Arbery. We also learned that Greg McMichael, when his time during the Glenn County Police, he actually investigated Ahmad for an incident that happened at school. And of course, soon as the news stations got this, Ahmad was arrested back in 2013. And we've seen this time and time again, you know, with Tamir Rice, with Trayvon Martin, that they try to villainize the victim, okay? Instead of, you know, saying he was a young man, they try to villainize the victim. And that's just not fair. Ahmad, listen, regardless of Ahmad's past, Ahmad could have done a million things in the past. He could have done unthinkable things in the past, but that's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about is Ahmad going running, okay, and being gunned down unarmed. This is what we're talking about. And so a lot of people always talk about, you know, Colin Kaepernick and taking a knee, and they have their own thoughts on that. Well, in my opinion, this is the very thing that Colin Kaepernick was taking a knee for. The killing of African American especially males, okay? And nothing happens about it. Not like, you know, it's just crazy to me. And I get so upset because Ahmad could have been me. That could have been me, okay, running in my neighborhood. And one of my neighbors could have said, oh, he looks like the guy. Because we've never heard a description, okay? I could have been what they're saying. And they could have gunned me down. And that's why I just get so passionate about it, because it's just like, what is it going to take for us to wake up? Okay, as people, and to see our differences and realize that, like, you know, we are no different than anyone else. Okay, we all are human beings, we are individuals, and we deserve, okay, justice. And it just makes me sad, because I truly believe that if Ahmad was named Zachary and he was white, I don't believe that, you know, these killers would have been on the street for months. They would have made an arrest immediately. And it's just sad. And it's just like, you know, and I always say it's about representation. It's about, you know, really trying to make people understand what is going on in our country. And we can't turn a blind eye to it. You know, it may be uncomfortable for some people, but unfortunately in life, we have to have uncomfortable conversations. And I have chosen to use my platform of the Purple Pants Podcast to talk about Ahmad, because Ahmad deserves that. And it truly makes me upset. And that, you know, people are, you know, trying to villainize him. He's not a villain here. He's a victim. And his family deserves justice. He deserves justice. Every unarmed African-American person in this country that has been killed deserves justice. And it needs to stop happening. And we, as ourselves, as a society, really have to take a deeper look at ourselves. And one thing that struck me was, you know, a couple of weeks ago when I had Eliza on here, who's running for Manhattan district attorney. And one thing Eliza said to me that I appreciate her was that she recognizes her privilege as a Caucasian woman in America, and that, you know, her privileges are way different than mine. But Eliza just doesn't, you know, leave it at that. She uses her privilege to try to help others. And I just think that, you know, no matter our backgrounds, no matter our, you know, religion, no matter any of that, we all are humans. Okay. We all are human beings. We all are world citizens. We all are a community. And if we start to think like that, we would be able to change. We would be able to work together. We would be able to have these important conversations. I know some Purple Pants Posse members may not be agreeing with me, but that's okay. But it's important for you to hear what I am saying, because if it were me that was gunned down and killed, I'm sure my Purple Pants Posse would be up in arms, just like the rest of the world, okay? But it shouldn't be covered up like how it was covered up in Glynn County. And there needs to be some investigation in this Glynn County, okay? And then over the weekend, the videographer, William Bryant, came out and said that he had no parts of it, and that, you know, he brought the video to the police. Well, listen, I'm sorry. In my opinion, William Bryant, the guy who videotaped it, he's an accessory to murder and he needs to be charged, okay? I don't care if you brought it to the police and they didn't do anything. You should have got on the phone. You should have called the next county over. You should have been calling civil rights. You should have posted the video online so that it can be seen. So I hold William just as accountable as Greg and Travis. And it's just unthinkable. And it just truly is upsetting. But I do believe things can change. It's not going to change overnight. It's not going to change in a week. It's not going to change in a year. But things can change. And how things change is we talk about it. We address. We talk about the racial, you know, biases that we have. We talk about the racial injustice that this country is built on, not shying away from the conversations, okay? Like, we have to talk about it. And that's why it was really important for me to put Ahmad on the menu this week, because I want justice for Ahmad. And you know, this weekend was Ahmad's birthday, and a lot of people across the country used the hashtag running with Ahmad. You know, they went out and ran and used the hashtag just to bring awareness to this, because unfortunately, this is just continues to happen over and over and over and over in our country. And the families never get justice. The police get off. OK, they don't get sentenced, you know, or in this case, you know, they are just out and about for months after this young man has been killed? And what has the DA's office been doing? Okay? I don't understand it. There needs to be some investigation into the Glynn County Police Department. There needs to be some investigation into the Brunswick Judicial Court District Attorney's Office, because something don't seem right. Okay? If it was like I said before, if the young man's name was Zachary, okay, and he came from an affluent Caucasian family, you better believe Travis and Greg and William would have already been in jail and the case would have been closed. And it's just not fair. So I just have to bring, because it brings home to me, because it's like, I'm a runner. Okay. That could have been my cousin. That could have been my uncle. That could have been my brother. That could have been my friend. And I think it's important for us to remember that these people are family members. Okay. And then when the news tries to villainize them, it's just so unfair. It doesn't matter what anyone's past is. If they are a victim of a crime, then they deserve justice, okay? Like, they are citizens of this country. They pay their taxes. They deserve it. So I just wanted to put Ahmaud Arbery on the menu this week, and thank you for listening. Whew, Chile, after that, I had to wear my whistle. I was on a diet. You know, I'm on my diet. I'm on my healthy lifestyle change. But baby, I had to pour me some Tito's and some cranberry juice. I just had to, you know, ease my nerves. Give me a second, Purple Pants Posse. I know it's a heavy topic. Heavy, heavy, heavy. But it's important for us to talk about it. It's important. So, keeping the menu rolling, Insecure. HBO's Insecure. It comes on Sunday nights at 10. And I got a lot of tweets this weekend from a lot of the Purple Pants Posses. Shout out to my girl, Summer Downs Berman, who hit me up on the Facebook and was like, oh my God, Bryce, I just started watching Purple Pants. I just started watching Insecure and I love it. Yeah, shout out to Summer. And Summer is a musician and she's been doing like these like quarantine series in her backyards where she got like a whole band and she be singing. I love it. And then for Mother's Day, she had her daughter up there singing. I was like, yes. But anyway, back to Insecure. So Insecure this week, it was another good one. So relatable, just so relatable. And like, I feel like people's lives with friendship, you know, our main character, Issa, all season, she's been getting ready for this block party. And I told you how this season has been like, in retrospect, every episode has been like 3 months before the block party, 2 months before the block party, a month before the block party, 2 weeks before the block party. Well, this episode was actually the block party. So Issa has been really stressing out about the block party. She had the help of this girl named Condola, who then started dating Lawrence, which is Issa's ex of 5 years. But then over the last couple of weeks, Condola has like basically ghosted Issa, and Issa doesn't know why. Issa's headliner dropped out. Issa was really struggling getting another headliner to replace the one that dropped out. However, she had found one online that was, you know, linked up with Live Nation. And Molly, her best friend's new boyfriend, Andrew, works for Live Nation. So Issa was like, hey, can you ask Andrew? And ultimately, Molly said no. She wanted to protect her relationship and kind of sort of keep it sacred. And so that's kind of like the build on of the fracture between Issa and Molly. So Issa is up late at night during this episode scrolling through the Instagram. Issa sound like me. And Issa sees that one of her love interests from last season, Nathan. So a little backstory on Nathan. Issa met Nathan. They kicked it for a summer. She really was like interested in him. And then all of a sudden he kind of sort of ghosted Issa. And so Issa was always just left in like this weird, like almost like purgatory with Nathan. Another fun fact about Nathan is his best friend and roommate is Andrew, Molly's new boo. So that's kind of sort of how Molly met Andrew, was when Issa was dealing with Nathan. You know, Andrew was interested in Molly, but Molly was like, I don't know if I can date him. Obviously, fast forward, they're dating him. So Issa hits Nathan up, you know, like 3 o'clock in the morning, and they just talking, and Issa's like saying how stressed out she is about the block party. And Issa says to Nathan, like, Nathan asks how Molly is, and Issa's like, me and Molly, I don't really F with Molly like that. So the day of the block party comes, and Issa is at the block party. She getting things together. It really looks great. And then Condola is there. Issa sees Condola, so she goes over to Condola. She's like, hey, girl, like, where you been? Condola's like, sorry, I've kind of, like, you know, really been MIA. And she's like, have you talked to Lawrence? And Issa's like, no. Condola's like, well, Lawrence and I broke up. Like I said, they was going to break up. And so that's why Condola basically is backing off from Issa. So they have this awkward exchange, and, you know, Condola's like, it really looks looks great. Congratulations, Issa. And then Issa's like, well, I gotta go. So they don't really like talk too much. So Issa is really like, you know, getting this block party moving and shaking. However, she is so nervous about her current headliner because she don't know what time they're going to get there. Now, fast forward to Molly and Andrew at Molly's apartment. And Molly is like trying to figure out what she's going to wear and really kind of like trying to decide if she's going to go. Like, I don't really want to go. I don't want to go. And Andrew's like, why don't you want to go to support Issa? And, you know, Molly's like, you know, she ain't really been there for me. And so Molly's back and forth of whether or not she's going to go to the block party, which if they were in a good place, why would your best friend not be at the block party right now helping you set up? So Andrew and Molly decide to go to the block party. The block party starts and there is not a lot of people at the block party. So Issa is kind of like freaking out. And mind you, the purpose of the block party is that, like, you know, where Issa lives in LA is that there's a lot of gentrification happening. And the point of the block party is to give the people that live in the community, you know, something to be proud of, the local businesses in the community to have a place to shine. And so it seems like a lot of people that are at the block party aren't people that live in the neighborhood, if you catch my drift. So Issa's kind of freaking out about that. And there's not a lot of people there right now. But, you know, wait, listen, if it's a block party, you know, the block party don't really get jumping into the nighttime anyway. Okay, if y'all ever had any block parties, well, at least my block parties. Okay, well, not my block parties, but my grandma back in the day, she used to have this block party. She lived on Pine Street in West Philadelphia, born and raised. Okay, my grandma block party used to be jumping. Shout out my grandma Clara. Hope you are resting in peace. But anyway, back to this. So she's, you know, running around, getting all of these last minute things together. And then her friends, Kelly and Tiffany, and Tiffany's husband are there. Tiffany is the one who recently had a baby. So this is like their first outing. So Tiffany is, you know, wetting the whistle, having a good time. Kelly acting crazy. So Molly and Andrew finally decide to slide through. And it looks like more and more people are coming to the block party. It's, you know, it's jumping. And then the headliner shows up. The headliner comes on. And everybody is like, they start doing a wobble. Wobble, do the wobble, do the wobble, do the wobble. Hey, get in there. Hey, get in there. Hey, hold up, Purple Bear Posse. Hold up, wait, let me do the wobble. Wobble, did it, wobble, did it. Hey, y'all know how to do the wobble. Oh, get in there. Okay, sorry. Ooh, I love me the wobble. When Jatia from my season 28, she got married. Who was there? Me, Tasha, Spencer, and Cass. We were there for my season, and Spencer didn't know how to wobble, so I had to teach baby boy how to do the wobble. I love a good wobble. So anyway, they're playing the wobble before the headliner comes on, and Issa and Molly kind of have a wobble together and really kind of like, you know, like, oh, like best friend times again. Now, prior to that, while Molly and Andrew were kind of like sitting off to the side, just chilling, Andrew is really saying to Molly, like, look at this. This is a lot of work for somebody to put together. Like, maybe this is the reason why Issa has been like not what you feel a good friend. She's been wrapped up in this. And Molly's like, you know what? Maybe you're right. So Molly tries to, like, you know, give Issa a peace offering. She goes to bring Issa food. And then we see him wobbling. Oh, hold on. Wait, another wobble break. Oh, wobble, do the wobble, do the wobble, do the wobble. Okay, all right. Sorry. Ooh, I just love me to wobble, okay? So they're wobbling, having a good time. The headliner comes on. Everybody is rocking with the headliner. It is just like, I'm like, yes, Issa, you did it. Okay, an amazing block party. So the headliner is done. People are still out having a good time. Molly is like, you know, congratulating Issa. Then they need Issa for something. So Issa is over there talking with Nathan and her brother. And so Molly's with Andrew. And then someone behind the back is like, hey, Andrew, the headliner just wanted to say thank you for hooking him up. If you want to come and by and say thank you. And so Molly's like, wait, what? And then, you know, Andrew's like, yeah, Issa asked Nathan to hit me up about getting the headliner. And of course I helped. And Molly's like, and you didn't tell me? And Andrew's like, I didn't think it would be a problem for me to help your best friend out with her block party. So whoo, chile. Immediately Molly gets the fire in her eyes and she sees Issa and she bump, walks over to Issa and she's like, Issa, can I talk to you for a second? And Issa's like, sure. She's like, you asked Andrew to help you? And Issa's like, yeah, I didn't involve you in it. I asked Nathan. And Molly's like, what part don't you understand that I said I did not want him involved in that? And Issa's like, what are you talking about, Molly? So you would rather have your best friend fail? And so they just kind of get back into this catty back and forth argument that really kind of starts a big commotion. And everyone's like, Issa, Molly, like, not now. Now is not the time. And Issa's even like, now is the time of all places that you want want to confront me. So they're like going back and forth. And like, you know, I guess Molly is like has her pocketbook. So she's like going in her pocketbook to get something. And then somebody in the crowd is like, what is she getting out of her bag? A gun. And literally all somebody has to say in a crowded space like a block party is gun. And there literally is mass hysteria. People are running. Tables are getting thrown apart. And everyone's just like, the whole crowd is just running. And so, obviously, after it's all said and done, like, you know, the event space looks a mess. The block party's over. And although the block party was super successful, obviously, it has to look so horrible on Issa that put all of this together with all of these supports, all of these vendors, all of these donors for it to end like that. And essentially, for it to end because of Molly. And listen, okay, right now, Purple Pants Posse, I am not Team Molly. I'm very upset with Molly. And we see Molly and Andrew walking to the car, and Molly is visibly upset. And, you know, she really kind of leans on Andrew for support. And Molly is just like obviously upset. And then, you know, Andrew's like, no matter what, I'll be here for you. And then Issa is just left in the middle of our block party. And Nathan's there. He's like, you want me to stay and help clean up? And Issa's like, no, I got it. And it just really kind of sucks because Issa did all of that work and for it to be ruined and essentially at Molly's hand. Because if Molly would have never started that argument, then no one would have ever said, gun. And then, you know, the crowd would have never went crazy like they did. I'm excited to see next week's episode, to see after the fallout, like what happens between their friends and Issa and Molly. But, you know, again, I just love Insecure. I just feel like that's just so relatable. I feel like I see myself in the show. I can learn from myself because a lot of the times, like, you know, in this Molly and Issa situation, I feel like I've had that situation with friends and I feel like, you know, I've been on the Issa side and I've been on the Molly side. And to me, what it really shows me is that there's a communication breakdown. And I feel like it's important whenever you have friends that, you know, you need to be able to communicate and that you shouldn't go long periods of time without communicating because it only drives a wedge. It's just so good and relatable. Okay. And if you haven't checked it out, you need to be like my girl Summer and check it out because, you know, your baby boy will not leave you stranded. It's HBO Insecure. We're on season 4. There's 3 other seasons that you can catch up. They're all on demand, and it comes on Sunday nights at 10 o'clock, keeping the menu rolling. And I'm so excited for this one, you know, for a multitude of reasons, but it don't even matter. But I'd like to introduce my good friend. You know, you hear me talking about him all the time, but welcome to the Purple Pants Podcast, E. Barrios.
Hey, what's up? How y'all doing?
What's up, guys? You talking to me? I'm fine.
You got to address the audience first. But how you doing, Bryce? What's going on?
I'm good. You know, I'm chilling. You know, just got done a little run. You know, I'm running for Mod and, you know, just chilling, enjoying my day. How are things with you? And first of all, congratulations on the new house, a homeowner.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yes. Here's a little tidbit about E. Barrios. He owns a home. He just bought a house with his fiance, Sarah. But Eddie ain't no handyman, okay? Anytime Sarah and Eddie need something put together, they have to call me, okay? And I ain't going to be your handyman no more. Y'all going to have to pay me, okay?
This is true, though.
Very true.
You like putting things together and taking them apart. I don't got the patience for all that.
I mean, I do. It's fun. I like, you know, figuring out. It's like a puzzle. You don't know what's going to happen or like, you know, but sometimes in the middle of it, I don't know what I'm doing. And then I'm like, oh, no. But anyway, enough about that, because I don't want the Purple Pants Posse to be like, Bryce, come to my house and put my dresser together. Ain't happening. But I'm so excited to finally have you on the podcast because, you know, E. Barrios is an artist. He's been an artist for a long time. So, like, you know, tell us about yourself, Eddie. Like what you do? What's going on? Like, you know, what's popping?
I mean, you gave me a perfect introduction, but E. Barrios, Eddie Barrios, feel free to call me Eddie. But basically, I'm an artist from Philadelphia. I've been doing music for several years now. But past few years, we've just been turning it up a little bit. And Bryce been in the studio a couple times. We got What You Looking For.
Hey.
And now we got this new single called Setback.
Oh.
But other than just trying to stay safe, stay in the house currently, I'm just working on music nonstop. But that's pretty much been it for the past several years. You already know.
So music, you are a rapper. Like, and what is music for you? Like, what is, how did you discover music? Is music an outlet, a creative outlet? Do you use music as therapy? Like, you know, what is music for you?
Music for me is kind of all of the above. It's the one thing I'm most passionate about. So for me, it's like damn near everything. I can't really describe how I got into music per se. I do know that being a young kid and just being, you know, in the city, listening to music coming out of people's houses and coming out of the car stereos and stuff like that, because music wasn't really too big in my household. That's kind of how I got into hip hop music. But ever since then, it's just something that I've always wanted to do. And that stretches as far back as I can remember. So I want to say,
who would you say are your like inspirations in music? Like, who do you draw from? Who are some of the great musicians that you look to?
I have a lot of inspirations, honestly. I would say for the most part, my biggest inspirations are people that I grew up on. That's kind of like Big Pun, ooh, Fabulous, Jadakiss, The Lox, you know, Biggie, the whole Bad Boy movement.
So Lil Kim would be in there.
Yeah, Kim would be in there.
Okay.
I draw inspirations from pretty much everybody, even like the guys doing their thing now, like the young and upcoming generations. I take a little bit from here, from there, you know, keep my eyes on what's new, always trying to, be innovative.
Do you only listen to hip hop? Do you listen to pop? Do you listen to country? Like what type of music do you like? Or, you know, what you be listening to?
I would say hands down, hip hop is my favorite genre of music, but I listen to all kinds of music. I like hip hop and rock the most, but I listen to country here and there. I like a lot of R&B. Yeah, I would say rock, hip hop, and R&B are my most favorite genres of music, but I listen to pop, older music. I mean, you could throw some Cher in there.
Oh, Cher.
Cher do got a few joints, though.
Well, what's a Cher joint that you know?
I don't know the name of it off the top of my head.
Don't she got a song like Time After Time? No, that's is that Cher?
I know she got a song about gypsies that I really, really like a lot. That's my jam.
E. Berrios is holding back. He listens to a whole bunch of type of music. I don't know why he be in this like stuck up, y'all. But I remember one time when E was with Sarah, and it was like a snowstorm. And I love snowstorms, especially when I have like friends around. Like you can go to their house and kind of get drunk and like pray that it's not going to be a snow day. Or, you know, you don't have to go to work the next day. And so, like, me, Sarah, Eddie was, like, in the house drinking Tito's and Ashanti, you know, Ashanti song, Baby came on. And at this time, like, I didn't even know Eddie liked R&B music. Ashanti, Baby came on and, whew, Chile. E. Berrios went, first of all, I love Ashanti. And E. Berrios couldn't even stop singing the song. I said, oh, okay. I love it when you say my name. Baby. I said, what in the devil? But
I listen to all that.
Yes, E. Berrios know what it's like. So another question I have for you is like, what is it like working with an artist like me? You know, I am very unconventional. I'm not, you know, anything that is, you know, what is more so perceived in today's kind of hip hop thing. You know, I'm kind of like a breakout. So what has that been like for you?
I would say, to be honest, it's been very easy working with you, to be honest. A lot of times you go into the studio and you're working with other artists, and sometimes it can be challenging. Not necessarily because, you know, a relationship or something that you may or may not have with that artist, but sometimes it's just hard to get on the same page. You know, sometimes, you know, the beats ain't right, you know, the timing ain't right. There's a lot of things that go into making music as like a collaborative project, but I can honestly say it's been easy. I mean, when we did the two songs that we did, it came together naturally, it came together quickly. We was able to knock those songs out like super quick. But it was easy. And to be honest, I always kind of looked at myself as like a black sheep per se. Like I feel like a lot of people don't expect my music to sound the way it is. I feel like I keep a lot of traditional type of morals when it comes to the music. Like I care a lot about the lyrics, and I care a lot about like having a lot of hip hop, like traditional hip hop elements in my music. And I think that kind of separates me in some ways. So I think it's dope to kind of work with someone like you who would necessarily be I could say at this point would probably be like another black sheep in hip hop, given the current landscape of where hip hop is right now and where it has been for the, you know, past however many years it's been around. There's not too many people like you willing to just jump on a microphone, go ahead and have fun making music and put yourself out there and do, you know what I mean, what you're doing. And you've mixed into a lot of things, so that's
definitely
dope too.
You know, we got Saucy Santanas out there, so you know we definitely are paving the way. Walk 'em like a dog. But you know, with all of that said, what do you have any projects coming out, or what are you working on right now? Like what's next for E. Berrios? Burials after, you know, the single Setback, which is available on iTunes, which is available on Google Play, which is available on Spotify, Dreezer, and you know my Uncle Pookie got it in the back of his car. So if you in Philly, you know, look for Uncle Pookie. But what other projects do you have in the works? Because anything that I know about Eddie is always recording. Eddie is, he learned how to, when Eddie and Sarah got serious and they moved in, one of the, like, the stipulations that he had with Sarah was like, you know, I need a place that I can record a studio. So Eddie had like this nice little studio, and Eddie like bought a computer, and he really learned how to record himself. And now that is a process in itself. And so I definitely have to give credit to Eddie. Eddie is one of the people that I admire a lot because he can, like, if he puts his mind to something and like learning how to record himself, like, it's not just buying the equipment. I know plenty of people that buy equipment and don't know what they're doing. Like, Eddie spent like hours, when I mean hours, watching YouTube videos, hours reading books and figuring stuff out. And it was like, you know, when Eddie first started recording himself, it was like, okay. And then as he got better, I'm just like, well, wait a minute, let me come over there and see if you can record me. So, you know, Eddie is, he's being very bashful right now, which I don't know why. And if, like, you know, if this corona thing wasn't happening and we were recording in person, I'd probably like punch him in the face a little bit so he could loosen up. But he is definitely, like, you know, one to his craft. And it's like, I can, like, I love that so much about him. And I try to take from him in those aspects, like, of things that I want to learn and things that I'm doing. I try to, like, put as much time as he does, because he almost gets, like, crazy with it to the point where it's just like, what are you doing? And I'm reading a book, or I'm just watching a YouTube video. But, you know, I just have to plug him, because I just can't say enough positive things about Eddie. But I can also say a lot of annoying things about Eddie. Do y'all know what shadow boxing is? Well, listen, don't give Eddie no type of alcohol, because all of a sudden, out of nowhere, Eddie will start shadow boxing. Like, who are you fighting? You okay? But you anyway.
You gotta stay sharp.
I'm asleep. But any new projects that you have coming out that you want to let the people know, that if anybody that listens is a hip hop head, any of their boyfriends, any of their husbands, any of their girlfriends, they're like true hip hop. And one thing about Eddie that I can say is he's definitely a lyricist. He definitely can word rhyme, you know, word play, put things back. I'm like, ooh, how he say that? Sometimes he be saying stuff, I be having to look it up. Like, I don't know what he just said. But any new projects that you got that people can check out?
Yeah. So I'm going to drop an EP, 5-track EP called Depends on the Day. That's going to come out May 29th. Yeah, that one just, it came out of nowhere, to be honest. I just decided to do it. Like you said, I'd be working on a lot of stuff. I had a bunch of music just sitting on my computer. Was trying to really plan how to release it over time. But I said, you know, what's a better time than to just put something out right now? And to be honest, this is the first time I mentioned it. But
wait, is this a Purple Pants podcast exclusive?
It is. Yeah, yes. It is.
So, and you said May 29th?
Yes, May 29th.
All right. And where can the people follow you at? What's your social media handles if somebody wants to follow the E to the dot Burials?
On Instagram, it's E dot Burials. That's Burrios. You can find me on Twitter at EddieB215. You can find me on Facebook also at EddieB215. I'm on Snapchat and TikTok somewhat, but
I
don't be posting videos on TikTok.
You got a TikTok?
I got one because the music is on there, but I don't really be posting on there. But that's also E.Burials.
And so then you want to drop your OnlyFans?
No, I ain't doing that. you try to get me in trouble.
I'm asleep. Yeah, oh, my God. Well, you know, it's been a pleasure to have you on the Purple Pants podcast. I appreciate your support. So, Purple Pants Posse, make sure you show my brother E.Burials some love. You know, he has got the project depends on the day. Drops May 29th. Make sure we all show him some love. Yes, E.Burials, it's been a pleasure. Thank you for coming on the Purple Pants podcast. And you know, the door is sometimes open to you. It's not always open to you because you get on my nerves sometimes, but it's always sometimes open to you. But thank you so much for coming on. I really appreciate it. And make sure, it's your song, so you plug it. I'm tired of plugging it. But thank you for coming on.
No, I appreciate you. I totally 100% appreciate you for having me on the show. Appreciate all the love, all the support. Couldn't be more thankful. You keep doing your thing as well. But for now, I need everybody, and I mean everybody, go check out Setback, me, Bryce Isaiah. The song speaks for itself. Yourself. It's available on all platforms, so please go stream that ASAP.
Yes, I appreciate it. And Purple Pants Posse, the next time we have Eddie on, because he's going to come back again, but the next time we have him on, we're going to have him wet his whistle a little bit, okay? Just a tad bit, so we can get, so y'all can really get the full experience of E-Berries. But thank you so much, E. I appreciate you.
Thank you. I'll talk to you soon.
Pick. If you hurry up quick, it's a purple pants pick, yeah.
And we are on to one of my favorite segments of the podcast, Purple Pants Picks. You pick, I say. Every Saturday morning, I post to my Instagram or the Purple Pants Pod Instagram a photo of Purple Pants. And I say, drop some topics from Purple Pants Picks. Any topics you guys run, music, social media, current events, anything, your baby boy got you. So let's get into this week's Purple Pants Picks. Ooh, I got one from my girl, Desi J. Williams, writes, giant Asian killer hornets. Baby, okay, over the last couple of weeks, the news has been reporting that the first time ever in North America have there been sightings of the giant Asian killer hornets, okay? Baby, they from Asia, okay? And they are like big bumblebees, okay? They are huge. And I saw it, I clicked on a couple of links, and baby, there was a video of a giant killer hornet killing a squirrel, okay? Like, the squirrel couldn't even get away. It was killing the squirrel. Baby, listen, in this quarantine, you know how they got them hazmat suits. Baby, I'm ordering me a purple BZB zookeeper suit, because I don't want nothing to do with them killer giant Asian hornets. Baby, I don't know what's going on with 2020, but baby, you could throw it all away, okay? We done lost Kobe, okay? We in this pandemic, and now you say it's giant Asian killer hornets? Oh, no. No, no. No, ma'am. Not here for it. Not today. Not tomorrow. And definitely not next week. Baby. Can you? We got to be careful here. Oh, my God. Y'all have to see that video. Now, mind you, it might be a mouse, not a squirrel. I forget. You know, baby boy be wetting the whistle sometimes. So, I don't know. But, ooh, baby, they are scary. Our next Purple Pants Picks comes from Paul. Paul Lauren writes, do you have any tattoos and what are your thoughts? Yes, baby girl. I have a couple of tattoos. I have one tattoo when I was like 16. All my brothers had tattoos. So, when I turned 16, I was like, ooh, I want a tattoo. I want a tattoo. And I got like my name on my arm. Like what? Like what? Like, do you not know your name? But that's what everyone had back in the day. Okay, so I wanted one too. But I've got cute little tattoos all over. Like some behind my neck, some on my hands, some like on my wrist, like my sign. I've got like, you know, just little stuff. And then my recentest tattoo I got last Mother's Day. I had my mom write her signature, and I didn't tell her what it was for. And then I had a tattoo artist like draw it on my hand as like a pulse, and then it has her name in it. So it's cute. I love tattoos. I definitely think people need to think long and hard before they get tattoos. Because, baby, I want my name up off my arm, but it also gives me reason to get another tattoo, because I really do want like a half sleeve. So I always keep saying like, I want a half sleeve, I want a half sleeve, I want a half sleeve. So, you know, you never know, baby boy might pop up with another tattoo, covering up another tattoo. All right, so _dot_Damon_ writes, how do you find inspiration? That's a good question. I don't really know. I am a person, Damon, that takes things in. Like, sometimes people be like, why are you staring at me? I'm like, oh, sorry. I find inspiration in a lot of different things. Like, I can see something and then I just will like gaze into it, and it would just, you know, perpetuate my mind. I find inspiration from people a lot of the times. I like to keep people close to me that are inspirations that I find motivational. Definitely the news, music, definitely a lot of different things I get inspiration from. Even this pandemic inspires me, because it's like, you know what? Life is short. You truly never know what tomorrow is, baby. You know, they got giant Asian hornets over here. So you never know what tomorrow is. And so this, like, you know, quarantine inspires me to like be as productive as possible. Don't have laziness as an excuse. So you can find inspiration anywhere, Damon. Our next Purple Pants Picks comes from Caleb WH25, it says, why do you like making music so much? Whew. Well, I don't know. I love it. It's just in me. I grew up around music. I felt like, you know, my mom played music a lot. You know, family members a lot in our culture. Whenever we get together, there's always music involved. So I just, music, and mind you, I'm one of them people, I could listen to music. Like, you know, if I'm in a bad, sad mood, I'll listen to sad, depressing music. And sometimes when I'm not even in a sad mood, I listen to sad, depressed music. I just like it. I like that it can move you. I like that it can have a message. I like that it can tell a story. I like that there's multiple interpretations of it. And you know me, I love female rappers. So, you know, back in the day, I was listening to Trina. I was listening to Lil' Kim. You know, I was listening to, I wasn't really listening to Queen Latifah. She was way before my time. But you know, like, I always, you know, I used to rap always the female parts. And he's like, why you always rap the female parts? Cause I'm gay and I like it. That's why. Okay. You want to rumble with the beat, huh? Bzz, throw a hex on the whole family. Whew, I've been gone for a minute. Now I'm back with the jumper. Who's bad? I'm the baddest. Ooh, okay. So listen, I like it. So it just, I love it. It's a form of expression. And I like, and if you don't know by now, Caleb, I likes to express myself. Next Purple Pants picks comes from Jay Troom, writes, tips to start running. So funny that you, wait, let me wet my whistle. Baby boy, mouth getting a little dry. Hold on. I'm screaming too much. Hold on. So this is a great one. I just had a conversation with my cousin last week who's been running, and I just actually gave him some tips. So some tips I have for you for running is, first couple of runs, don't be worried about where you're at, what mile you're at. Don't even worry about it. Run till you just can't run anymore. That's one. Another tip I'd have to say is that when you're running and you feeling like, oh, I can't run no more, I'm getting fatigued, especially like if you're going up a hill and you're getting fatigued, once you get up that hill, drop your pace down. Like, don't like continue to try to like, just drop your pace down. Even if it's almost like a walking pace, drop your pace down, get your heart rate, catch up with your heart rate, and then you'll be able to have so much more energy. Like, you know, it's the best trick ever. Like, you know, once you like, oh, can't go no more, just drop your pace down for a couple of minutes and then pick it back up. Then you'll be good. Another tip that I have is that, like, you know, enjoy the run. Like, you know, and I was saying this to my cousin that, like, you know, first of all, the first 10 minutes of every run is the worst for me. I'd be like, oh, why I come out here? What I'm doing out here? After them 10 minutes, then all of a sudden you'd be like, ooh, I'm chilling. But I like to use running. I always tell you guys, running for me is like a release. I like pay bills. I make plans. I like really kind of like let my mind unlock. Like, so don't think about the actual run. Because if you think about, oh, left foot, right foot, left foot, child, you ain't never going to get far. But if you think about like, what am I eat for dinner today? What do I got under my bed? When's our next trip? Did I pay that bill? Like, you really get lost in the run. And another tip that I will give is that keep running. Try to set a schedule. If you're just starting out, maybe 2 times a week, and try to keep that for a month and then move to like 3 times a week. Always give your day, like if you build it up to like where you're running a lot, always give yourself a day of rest, because like your body needs to recover and you don't want to like just wear your body down. But, and make sure you stay hydrated. I like to drink water. I try not to, this is just kind of the runner that I am. I don't recommend this for everyone, but I'll drink water before I run, but I won't really bring water with me unless it's an extremely hot day. Cause sometimes that kind of like messes up my pace and my flow. And then when I get back to my car, baby boy drinks his water. And make sure you've got a good supportive shoe on as well too. That's another major tip. Cause for a long time I was running and I didn't have great shoes. I didn't realize that I had low arches and I needed actual shoes that had good arch supports and that was light and flexible. So there's a lot of things that go into running, but don't be too hard on yourself. As long as you get out and run, it's an accomplishment. And every time that you run, you get better and better and better and better. So good luck. Then our last and final Purple Pants picks of this week comes from E. Nikki B. She writes, with summer possibly being canceled, what are your plans? So yes, with summer being canceled is a very likely thing. And even if the world reopens, baby, I'm canceling my own summer, okay? Because I'm not really going to places with large crowds. I'm not really doing none of that. I actually really just want a low-key, like, summer. Like, I just want to, like, hang out with friends and, you know, just hang out. Like, me and Wendell had already been talking about, I want to go tubing. Like, I want to go camping and tubing. There's, like, there's mountains, maybe, like, a couple of hours away from Philly. And I'm feeling like that should be safe, you know, be a small group of us, get a cabin. Like, I just want to do little small stuff like that. I want to go hiking a lot. I want to go camping in a tent, even though, like I told you, I bought a tent and none of my friends want to go camping with me. Ugh, okay, it's annoying. But I just plan on having a low-key summer. I want to clean my backyard out a little bit. I want to have a little barbecue, like 7 people, like, you know, just small, intimate friends. And I want to continue to be eating healthy. I want to get this body right. I want to keep giving you guys some Purple Pants podcast. So yeah, just small little goals. Like, I'm not one of those people like, oh, I hope they open it back up. Like, I'm not even thinking about that. How I'm thinking is, this is how I'm living right now, and that's it. That's how it's going to be. So that's going to conclude this week's Purple Pants picks. If you guys want to pick, make sure you check my Instagram story on Saturdays, and you can get your pick in.
It is time for advice given to you by Bryce. It's time for advice with Bryce.
All right, hey everybody, welcome back to Advice for Bryce. We have another great selection, so let's get right into it. Hey Bryce, this is Caitlin. I was supposed to have my wedding on April 25th, 2020. Due to the COVID-19 outbreak, we had to reschedule our celebration. For a while, I was holding onto a small thread of hope that I'd be able to have some sort of a small ceremony or something. Anything on our perfect date, the 25th. As we've gotten closer, we've realized more and more that we might not even be able to get legally married yet because we haven't gotten our license due to federal building and other service closures. All week, I have been feeling so much sadness and grief due to the loss of my day. I know there is so much more in the world going on, and I understand the gravity and importance of staying home, rescheduling, and being safe and healthy. But I'm still grieving, and I don't know how long I will feel like this. Do you have any tips for going through the grieving process, no matter what one is grieving, such as if it's the loss of a loved one, a routine, an event, etc., whatever it may be? Thank you so much for everything you do.
Hey, Caitlin, and what a great question. So I definitely think that it is important for you to acknowledge that you are upset and sad about, you know, having to postpone your wedding. That's, you know, a girl's biggest day. Like, you know, girls dream about that all day. So I think, one, it's so important for you to acknowledge that and to be okay with your feelings and to be, like, okay with being sad for a little bit. You know, I always say, give myself a couple of days to be sad. Go through the motions. However, I definitely think that you and your fiance should focus on the fact that, hey, we're healthy and we're together. And, you know, last week I talked about a show called A Secret Love with Aunt Pat and Aunt Terry, and they were together for years. It wasn't even legal for them to get married. And even when it became legal for them to get married, they even thought, like, what's the point? Because a marriage doesn't really define our love. We define our love. And so I say that to say that you and your fiance are going to get married one day, but don't get caught up too much in, like, the title and all of that. Like, you know, enjoy the fact that you've got somebody during this pandemic that loves and cares about you. And that's really what it's about, because dates can be changed, things can be rearranged, and you'll have your special day that you've always dreamed about. So I think that it's important for you to remember that, like, you know what? There are some people that are alone, that don't have somebody, that haven't even met anybody. And so sometimes it's great to count our blessings. So I think that that's important for you to focus on as well, Caitlin, that, like, you know what? What does a piece of paper really going to do in our relationship? And if we've got to postpone it a little bit, then I think what this time can teach us that sometimes we just have to go with the flow. It's out of our control. And I feel like a lot of the times us as humans, we just want to control everything. We want to, like, you know, put it here, put it there. And sometimes we just got to let it go. Like, we're not in control. It's nothing we can do about it. And guess what? It's okay. So I know that it sucks, but you still got your health, you still got your man, you still got your family and friends, and obviously you want them to be safe. So I really feel like if you focus on the positive, then you won't really worry about the date that has passed, and you will plan another amazing date. I'm sure of it. You'll have an amazing wedding, and, you know, everything will be good. So just try not to focus so much on what you can't control. And it's important, like I said before, to grieve, be upset, but move forward and move past it, I really feel like is the best advice that I can give you. Because, listen, we got our health. You know, you got a home. Your bills are being paid. And you know what? Despite what a piece of paper can say or a ceremony, you've got the love of your life and your life partner. So that's my advice, Caitlin. I hope that helps. If any of you guys out there need some advice about anything, finances, love, marriage, TV, food, just send me your advice with Bryce to purplepantspodcast@gmail.com and your baby boy got you.
Who's the freak? Who's the freak? Who's the freak of the week? Who's that? Who's that? Who's that freaky, freaky, freak? Who's the freak of the week? Might be me, might be you, might be.
Yes, now we're on to this week's freak of the week, baby. So, you know, ain't nothing new, baby boy, scrolling through before I went to sleep, you know, just scrolling through the Instagram, seeing what's popping over there, and I came across this photo of Neil Gottlieb from Survivor Season 32, Karan. Yeah, you remember Neil, the one with the ice cream pants? Okay, he was trying to come for the purple pants. It's like, no, I love Neil. But I came across this photo of Neil, okay? And he in the desert with no shirt on, where it looked like he got a Ben hat, but a brown Ben hat. And he's holding a sign that says, Burning Man 2020 Coronaversary. And it reads, Burning Man 2020 Coronaversary. Not the burn I wanted, but no doubtably the one I needed. Baby boy is out there in the Nevada desert. Now, I'm not sure if you guys know, but the Burning Man Festival is like so dope. It's in Nevada, and generally it's around this time, and obviously they had to cancel it due to COVID-19. I've always wanted to go to the Burning Man, and even, you know, Joaquin from season 30, Worlds Apart, you know, the cover of my Zaddy calendar, he was at the Burning Man Festival for the cover photo. But yeah, so dope. But anyway, look at Neil over there looking all burnt and hot up. So I am cracking up. So yes, you gotta go to Neil's Instagram page, Neil Gottlieb. That's NEALHGOTTL. Is that an L? Yep. LIEB. Yes. And let him know Neil done made the freak of the week of the Purple Pants podcast. Yes. Well, you know, with the freak of the week, that means we are concluding another episode of the Purple Pants podcast. Thank you guys so much for listening. But before we go, if you guys could make sure that you subscribe to this podcast, if you could rate this podcast, give me 5 stars. Don't be like Barbie, give me 1 star, thinking she giving me 5 stars, and write a review. I love to read the reviews. Okay. Yes. And make sure you tag a friend, tell a friend, and tell a friend about the Purple Pants podcast. And yes, you will hear me next week, because you already know it's a
it's the purple pants, it's the purple pants, it's the purple pants podcast. You better get your headphones and listen up quick. It's the purple pants podcast. You better listen in public, might make your stomach hurt. It's the purple pants podcast. You're trying to unwind, you better get that box wine. It's the Purple Pants podcast. You're trying to get your snack, you better hurry right back though. It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants.